Hello, guys. Welcome to the Black Spin Global podcast featured on the New York Times. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
Guys, welcome to day 5 at Wimbledon. Obviously, the intro was a bit different.
Crazy.
Because, you know, if you follow us on social, you will see that our official feature with the New York Times is out, where we shared our story, what we've been through, how we've grown this platform, how Eugene started this platform, and a big up thank you to Stacey China for reaching out to us. Definitely. And a massive thank you to those who collaborated into the feature to give us some nice comments.
Those co-signs
were huge. Tamani Carriol from The Guardian, Jermaine Jenkins, also Francis Tiafo as well. So thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Eugene, how are you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm buzzing, Lucy. I am buzzing too.
I don't think I'm going to sleep. I nearly cried. But yeah.
And you're back in your own bed tonight.
Eugene is like, deep down, he's so excited. Like, he's like, I've got my bed. I don't have this girl waking me up early in the morning. I don't have to iron someone's clothes. But first of all, I will say, Eugene is a great host. Aww. I will give it to you. You know, guys, he always asks me, do you eat breakfast? Every night when we get home, he's like, do you have clothes to iron? You know, he made sure that the bed was comfy, new sheets, everything. He let me get ready. So if you are a Black woman and you're very good and you're respectful, good education, I have a good brother for you around here.
This ain't Hinge. This ain't Hinge. Hinge live at Wimbledon.
My big bro, man, he's you know, he's a good man, you know. Like, look, I'm good. I've been sleeping well refreshed.
I'm glad you've had a good time.
I had a good time.
But listen, let's get into the tennis. What a day.
What a day, actually.
Like, I don't know where to, I say I don't know where to start. We should start with, I think, Jasmine Paolini.
For sure. First match of the day, anyway.
First, exactly, on court number one. Mm-hmm. Her second match on court number one, actually, during these championships. And yeah, what a match she played, man. So it was against Bianca Andreescu, and it was a 7-6, 6-1 victory. Mm. Under the roof, because it was raining first thing this morning and pretty much into the afternoon as well. But yeah, Jasmine Paolini, what a match. Mm. I watched most of it because you were elsewhere watching Big Fro, Carlos Alcaraz, which we'll talk about later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just so impressed with Paolini. Mm. Going into it, Lucy, too, and we did speak about it on the previous pod, obviously. I was confident because obviously she's the seventh seed. Mm-hmm. We did mention that Andreescu and Paolini had played before. I don't think we did say it was at the French, though, because I think I forgot. So obviously that was a recent, you know, meeting at the last Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Paolini ended up winning. And we all know what happened when, you know, Paolini beat Bianca Andreescu in a Grand Slam. Not saying that it's gonna happen here, but good omens.
Keep an eye in it.
Exactly. Definitely keep an eye. But just on the match, like, I thought with Paolini, she just it's kind of what she's been showing, like, throughout the season in terms of, like, just this level of being, she's a top 10 player now. And, like, she just looks so comfortable, like, kind of in that place in terms of being, like, among the top 10 seeds, like, at a Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. Now she's reached the fourth round or better at every single Grand Slam she's played so far this season. Obviously, the US Open is still to come. She keeps breaking these, like, milestone or having these milestone moments at these, like, the biggest events.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's just a great sign. It just shows as well, like, in terms of her all court game, which we spoke about a bit in the preview pod.
Yeah.
Reaching the semi-finals at Eastbourne, now reaching the second week at Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. Before this year, she'd never got past the first round. And now she's looking like, basically looking like a routine, like, grass court player. Like, mm-hmm. she's been playing on grass, like, for God knows how long. But yeah, I was just mightily impressed with Paolini.
Like, apparently, that second set was crazy.
Because, to be fair, the first set was tight, and obviously it went to a tie break. Mm-hmm. And I want to say they exchanged breaks So the first two games, they broke each other. So
right.
I want to say Paolini was serving first, and mm-hmm. Andreescu broke her.
Mm-hmm.
Paolini then broke Andreescu to make it 1-1, and then she held. So she was the Paolini was the first player to hold, mm-hmm. and then from there they both kept holding serve until it reached the tiebreak, and then Paolini stepped things up in that tiebreak,
mm.
won it 7-4, and then the second set just carried on the momentum, 6-1, like, yeah. Pretty comfortable. I mean, 6-1 shows that she was pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any kind of thoughts. Did you see any like clips or highlights?
I was keeping an eye more for the first set.
Okay.
Because I had my computer and stuff, and it did look pretty tight.
Yeah.
By what I was seeing, I thought even like, oh, is this gonna be a free set? But I had Paolini winning that match anyways. Yeah. I just knew it was going to be, you know, like a battle because Andreescu had been on form. We've said it before. She's been playing really well. She made it to the finals of the grass tournament and stuff. But in terms of this entire year, what Paolini has achieved compared to what Bianca has achieved is completely different. So she is like, you know, she has this full momentum. And I think her getting all of this positive energy and winning, and like you said earlier, like, you know, achieving so many different things in such a quick period of time as well, I think is really motivating her. So yeah, but it looked like it was a great match. When I saw that lineup, I was like, oh shoot, like this looks good. Yeah. So I'm really happy for her. Happy that Andreescu as well is doing well. Like I said, we need more of that. I'm here for good players like her that, you know, are getting better. The same with Emma. Like I said this before, like, you know, all of these players that before were not really...
Emma who? Emma Navarro or Emma Raducanu?
Emma Raducanu, of course.
But yeah, just to clarify.
Yeah, just to clarify. But shout out to both of them for putting out. Shout out to Paolini for making it to, you know, the second week.
Crazy. So I went to her press and it was funny because she was scheduled for one of the smaller rooms initially. But there were so many like reporters basically there to see her and speak to her. So they ended up moving it to like the main theatre, which I found very funny, and I did tweet it. But again, that just shows like the eye is on her now. Like she's the Italian number one.
Yeah.
I mean, you've said it as well. Like hopefully like she's going to be at the WTA finals. Right now she's actually number six in the world in the live rankings.
Yep.
So it's like, not it's up. It could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I wouldn't be surprised, and she definitely deserves it.
Yeah.
In press, I did ask her because, and we'll talk about who she's playing next, but Madison Keys had just finished her match against Marta Kostyuk.
Mm-hmm.
So that confirmed that they'll be meeting in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
So I did ask Paolini like what her thoughts are kind of going into that match, and here's what she said.
It's going to be tough. I think last year I did two games or three against her in Dubai. I hope it's going to be a different match, you know. And I practiced with her in Eastbourne once. And yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward for this match. I hope to play a good match and we'll see.
So yeah, really, really good insight like from Paolini. Like it's funny too how they both coincidentally ended up practicing together at Eastbourne, which I thought was quite nice. Mm-hmm. Like,
I wish I caught that.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That would have been an interesting, yeah.
Yeah, like kind yeah. Because normally I always go Eastbourne, but because of my schedule, I didn't go early.
A bit
but
crazy.
Yeah.
This year, as we know. But yeah, night. It was like I said, so many Italian reporters and English too. To be fair, I wasn't the only English speaking journalist in there.
Yeah, because normally a lot of Paolini's press, I think there was one that I did where I was the only English one.
Yeah.
I asked two questions and then...
No, there were, I want to say there were at least four or five.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and I love that because the more eyes like on her in terms of like getting the notoriety, like she deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just great to see. And like I said, the fact that her and Keys ended up practiced together at Eastbourne, like it's pretty cute.
Yeah.
100%. And again, as we do now know, we can move on to Madison Keys. Picked up a nice win against Marta Kostyuk, the 18th seed, 6-4, 6-3. I said that she basically picked up from where she left off against Wang Yefan in the round before. So Keys has yet to drop a set at Wimbledon.
I swear she did that. That's what happened last year as well.
Really? Because she did mention that she played Kostyuk last year.
No. The whole drop a set thing.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I didn't look.
I remember when... Because she did Eastbourne and she came here.
Yeah, she won Eastbourne.
Literally from Eastbourne to like when she like lost, like she did not drop a set.
That rings a bell actually, yeah.
She's doing it again.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. She needs to keep it up, man.
So yeah, Key's another one in great form. And just I do enjoy going to her press conferences because like I said, like she always gives like really thoughtful and like in-depth answers. So again, I put to her the fact that she's going to be playing Jasmine Paolini in the next round. And yeah, here's what she said.
I think it's going to be a tough match. She's obviously playing some of her best tennis of her career. She's had a fantastic year so far. And we practiced in Eastbourne and she was playing some really good grass tennis. So I'm happy that we got to practice so I at least kind of know what's coming. But I mean, I'm fully anticipating it being a very difficult match.
So again, like similar on the Paolini thing about the practice, like it's funny because she laughed and she said, oh, she's happy she managed to get like a practice in. So she kind of has an idea of like what to expect going into the match, which I found quite funny. Just back to the match quickly, I appreciated how honest Keys was as well, because obviously she spoke about her level being, you know, pretty good, but she also said that, yeah, you know, she probably, if Kostyuk was asked, like, how she played, like, she probably would say she wasn't playing her best. And I just find that, like, quite humbling, like in terms of a player to like acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Although she was obviously happy about her own level.
Yeah. But
she was also aware that like Kostyuk wasn't playing, you know, to her peak.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, she still took advantage of that. There's some players, they can play against someone who's not playing their best and still don't know how to capitalize off
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. At least she did.
But yeah, I just like that kind of thoughtfulness from Keys. And yeah, this match in prospect now with Jasmine Paolini, like what a match.
Yeah,
like two big hitters. I think there was an Italian journalist actually that kind of said, he put the question to Keys again about like what her thoughts are or kind of going into the match against Paolini. Apparently Paolini said that Keys doesn't have a forehand, like her forehand is like a gun. In other words, like it's just like a ridiculously powerful shot.
Right.
And obviously that must have been like an Italian.
Yeah.
So yeah, like both are very complimentary of each other's games. Like there's that mutual respect there, which again I love. And yeah, Lucy, like it's an amazing match, like in prospect. I'm looking forward to it. So that's going to be on the Sunday. And also Keys finally gets a day off because she's been playing back-to-back days because of the crappy
rain delays,
London,
yeah.
I say London, British summertime, if you could call it that. So yeah, man, well played to Keys and Paolini too. Fourth round. We did say before as well in our Wimbledon preview pod, that bottom half is stacked with a lot of black girls. So...
No comment.
We're here now. Like this is where it gets. This is where it gets like you know, it gets tricky. So we're going to be losing a few, but also yeah, we're going to also be gaining a few as well. Getting into the latter stages of the tournament. So yeah, we look forward to seeing that. Coco Gauff now, oof. Second seed, the one literally right at the bottom of that bottom half. Oof. Nice 6-4, 6-love victory over the British qualifier Sané Cartel. I don't know why I've got a Sunny Cartel here. Sané Cartel. Good win for Gauff. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, she played. So the first set was quite like, you know, quite close.
Tight, yeah,
it was tight. But Coco just leveled up. She honestly just leveled up. I was really amazed. She looked really comfortable. I loved seeing how she immediately had the game plan into making her opponent like very uncomfortable to a point where I think just got her shook in a second set. And one thing I want to give up on, because you guys always chat so much about that, is her forehand that match. Like the rallies. during that match, and the way she was hitting that, like, it was smooth.
Yeah.
It wasn't long. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too, like, rough. It wasn't a thing where she was just hitting just for the case of, like, just for the sake of hitting. Like, she was really rallying well and hitting well with her forehand. Like, it was just amazing. And I was just like, so you can do this, and you will be able to do this. And, you know, and that's why I didn't... I never really entertained too much the whole forehands thing.
Yeah.
I entertained more of the just focus here, like think a little bit, take time with it. But I knew she always had the potential to improve that forehand and stuff. But yeah, during that match, there was some rallies, especially the second set, where it was just amazing. But Carter was just, I think she was just really thrown off. Mm. Maybe as well, there was pressure as well, being like the Brit and stuff. But still, shout out to her. She made it. She's a qualifier, made it all the way to this round. And she did play against a Grand Slam champion. Exactly. She might not have won second Wimbledon. Seed,
like, yeah.
But she's the second seed. She's a Grand Slam champion. So it would have never been easy for her anyways. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I'm super proud of Coco for fighting through and just, you know, playing so well. That was easy, like, her best match in a while.
Yeah, to get that bagel second set as well. It's pretty, like, yeah, it's a bit of a statement. Are we going to include anything from her press, or are we just going to speak about it?
I think we could just speak about it.
Yeah.
You can speak about the question that you asked her as well.
Yeah, I mean, she came in obviously quite upbeat, which I guess isn't, like, a surprise, considering she's into the second week at Wimbledon for the third time.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask her about that as well. Like, just basically said, like, yeah, Wimbledon, it must be a pretty special place to you, just because obviously this is kind of where you made your breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, what year was that again? 2019.
Mm.
When she beat Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2019 or 2020? It was 2019. It was 2019. And yeah, she just said, of course, like, you know, it's Wimbledon, kind of what all the players say, really. Like, it's a special kind of event for them, even though they're not necessarily British. But, like, Wimbledon is, like, the pinnacle, like, of, like, the sport, almost. And, like, some things that, like, fans, or certain fans anyway, may find, like, slightly rigid or old-fashioned, like, the traditions.
It's, but she
likes, I think most players actually like that. The fact you can only wear all white, like...
Yeah, it is different from, like, all of them, because all of them are complete different. They're more casual. You can go to Australia with flip-flops.
Exactly.
Like, whereas here, it's like a whole different story. I think for me, what I like is the fact that she actually did say that she's not too sure why she feels that way, but she feels like she doesn't know if it's a thing where it's her first big tournament. I mean, Wimbledon is why all the eyes...
Yeah.
I mean, like, Wimbledon's where, like, she broke through and she had that big match, like you said, but she said for some reason she always gets... She always gets scared here.
Nervous
the first round. But now she's passed that, obviously, so she's okay. But it's interesting that she feels that way, because she be playing, like, so confidently. She's be looking like, you know.
It's routine.
It's all, it's all through. I can understand this year why she felt nervous, if she did, because of what happened last year. But the other times, I don't really, you know, see why. Because when I see Coco, I just see her as someone just like a confident girl. I just want to go and get it.
Yannick Sinner is on his way to the media theatre. Yannick Sinner is on his way to the media theatre.
We should have warned you
guys.
We
got interrupted by the number one. But, you know, again, we are on site. We are on site. So, yeah, but that's the last announcement anyway. So we should be fine.
Yeah, I also liked, she spoke about, like, not taking wins for granted, which I found very, like, I found that fascinating, because, yeah, like, she's, you know, she's world number two. She wins a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's like, you would think it's, like, I mentioned the word routine. It's not routine. Like, there's effort and, like, kind of, you know, a lot that goes into these wins. But, like, for her to say, like, yeah, she also kind of makes sure that she doesn't take... She doesn't take those, like, wins for granted. Like, it's great insight, but also I wasn't, like, not that I didn't give it much thought, but just hearing it from her, like, I was like, wow, that's just fascinating. Like, yeah. So she takes on Emma Navarro next.
Yep.
Not Emma Raducanu.
No, Emma Raducanu.
Confusion. I'm not sure on whose part, like, if it was...
I think it was...
The interviewer?
Yeah, or... it was. It was their fault.
But...
Because they said Emma. And obviously...
But they would have said Navarro, though, sure. They wouldn't have just
said Emma. No, she just said Emma. And I think, obviously, from the way Coco said it, I feel like, oh, she probably did not know her draw because... You know, some players, they don't check their full draw. They just look at who am I playing next.
Yeah.
So she thought she was talking about Emma Raducanu.
But it's actually Emma Navarro. Who beat Naomi Osaka. So yes. That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Obviously, two Americans.
Mm-hmm. Two Americans. She did say that, you know, she said that, what, well, they're not like they proper friend, but she grew up like with her and stuff. Like the last match that they played against each other was like a very long time ago, like when they were really young. But they said that she's very friendly, her family are friendly and stuff. So she's looking forward to, you know, playing her after such a long time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, especially with the way Navarro was playing during like Osaka's match. That means it's going to be, you know, a big babe tennis match.
And I want to say Navarro is the 19th seed. So, but obviously Coco being number 2 seed. I mean, yeah. And then the quarterfinals, what are we saying?
What are we saying?
As in who plays who? So the winner of that match plays the winner of Paolini Keys in the quarterfinals. Why? How did we get here?
No, this is so unfair.
But it is what it is. But yeah, shouts out to Coco Gauff. And also, yeah, shouts out to Kartal as well for making it this far as a qualifier.
Shout out to the Brits, man. Tennis is coming home.
Yeah. Let's go. Some defeats now, Lucy. Francis Tiafoe, man. 5-set thriller. Agonizing match, like. You were there for most of it. Man, I am still gutted for Francis, but at the same time, very proud.
Very proud.
Yeah, obviously coming in, he had the MCL sprain, which is why he was wearing the knee brace.
Mm-hmm.
But to take the defending champion to 5 sets. To be fair, he started the match like...
So he started the first 2 sets.
No, he took the opening set.
He took the opening set. But all I'm saying is that
Alcaraz won the second set 6-2.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the first set, Tiafoe was just like on fire. I felt like Alcaraz just did not really know what to do. Like
he was rattled.
Throughout the match till that 4th set, Alcaraz just did not know what to do. He just did not know. It's like he had no game plan or whatever game plan that he had just not actually work. And I don't blame him. Mm. Maybe he went into the match underestimating how much Tiafoe had in him as well.
That's a great point.
I
think a lot of people did, though, to be honest. I don't think a lot of people did.
Because when I was reading the comments, a lot of people were like, you know, my expectations were not this high. Yeah. And he just like blew us away and stuff. Like, I don't think a lot of people did. Personally, me, I knew that Tiafoe was going to come and bring in his best tennis because he knew how big this match was. He also shared on his Telegraph interview with Uche Amako, shout out to him, and that article that they did together before Wimbledon, where he said that he actually wanted to play on centre court and he hated the fact that he never played on it. So having that and then you're playing against, you know, the
defending champ,
and you're playing a centre court, you're having the fans. You know, a lot of Americans come to Wimbledon, by the way, as well.
It's a popcorn match.
Like, he knows. And Tiafoe likes that type of vibe. He likes that energy. So I think all of that just helped him. And, you know, on top of all of that, he wants to go far. And he wants to be playing, but especially that, you know, he even admitted himself, like, the beginning of this year has not been great for him. So having that, I've definitely pushed him a lot more. And yeah, honestly, shout out to both of them for giving us that match. Alcaraz is just, I don't know, man.
Like, Alcaraz.
He's just different. Hence why when he was that 4th set and I was like looking at the match, I was like, if Francis doesn't break him here, it's going to be tough. Because if he goes to a tie break, Alcaraz is just... He's just a different person because he's someone where he's very hungry. And when he has that mindset, that is it. And that's why also I had to give props to Tiafa for being able to break him in the other sets. Because the second, like, this time, there was games where if Alcaraz was, like, down 0-40, he would just go back up.
Yeah.
But there were times in some games where Tiafa was actually able to break him.
Exactly,
and to me, I was like, that's just amazing. Because with Alcaraz, he's not easy to break.
Mm.
He's really not easy to break. So either way, despite the result, believe me, France has played his best tennis that he's played this year. He made Alcaraz work, like he really did. And I couldn't be more like happy and proud of him. Like, obviously, yes, would have loved for him to win, but considering his year, considering the slight injury, and considering that pressure of you facing such a player like Alcaraz, who's three-time Grand Slam champion on top of that, and you're very competitive as well, mate, you have to give it off to him. My only hope is that he carries this on and uses that
match, which I think he will, definitely,
to fill him for the rest of the season. Yeah.
I just, everything you said, Lucy, I completely agree with, and well said. But yeah, I just love the way he stepped up because, mm-hmm. yeah, coming in, like we all know, like we said initially with the injury, like mm-hmm. he's not 100%. So the fact that he was able to take Alcaraz to five sets, this is their third meeting too. So now Alcaraz does lead the head-to-head 2-1.
Yeah.
But yeah, their last two meetings now have gone the distance. Obviously, New York in that semi-final at the US Open, that was a five-setter. And now here at Wimbledon too. So yeah, like we all know, again, Tiafo, he loves like the kind of the big moment. And the, like I said, the fact that he, and you've said it as well very clearly,
mm-hmm.
the fact that he was able to bring it, like it shows he's on the right path.
Mm.
And yeah, just very happy that again, he got to play on center court,
mm-hmm.
long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the fans, they enjoyed it. Like mm-hmm. it was a show. Mm-hmm. And both put on that show.
Oh yeah, no. The being in there, mate, it was
with the
loud.
Roof closed as well.
Yeah, as far. Do you know what? Believe me or not, yeah, there were actually more fans cheering for Tiafoe than Alcaraz.
I'm not that surprised, to be honest.
Honestly speaking, like even at the end of the match, there was a crazy standing ovation.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they were clapping and clapping and clapping and clapping and clapping. Like it was, and because it was closed, it was even louder than ever. Yeah. But the crowd was the loudest when he literally left the court.
Yeah.
But even before that, like even like the last set, when Alcaraz was serving for the match, people were shouting, Big Foe, Big Foe, Big Foe. Like, I was hearing more Big Foe than Alcaraz.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just shows to you that, you know, a lot of people like love, and I think a lot of the fans were excited to see him playing at such a good level. Like, we need more of this from him, and I hope that we can keep on getting it. But even during his press as well, speaking of center court, you know, like someone did ask him, like, you know, this is the match that he wanted. You know, he was living it up to it. He was sending, you know, funny, nice, competitive shots to Alcaraz saying, yeah, he's coming for him. And he did come for him. You know, he really did come for him. But yeah, and then they asked him, like, what was in terms of experience of, like, his time on center and, you know, playing with against someone like Alcaraz. And how does that affect him moving forward? And this is what he said.
No, it was good. It was huge. It was huge for me to be in that environment again and play a match of, you know, such high quality. Me coming after one of the best players in the world and, you know, putting my game on display at the highest level, a court I've never played on. So, I mean, I was – that definitely sparked a huge light under me. I mean, I had so much fun playing out there. I felt so comfortable. You know, I really thought the match was there for me to take, and it's gonna, I guess take a lot of confidence from that. Something I needed. You know, I haven't been happy playing. It's been really tough. So to be able to do that and compete like that at the highest level, just that's gonna help me a lot. You know, for the summer swing and obviously going to the Open where I wanna perform my best as well.
But yeah, so that was a really good answer from him. Again, I'm glad that he's also thinking about the US swing and everything like he mentioned.
It was sad to hear though him say like he's not been happy playing as well. Like, but obviously that's because of the results.
I don't feel like he even needs to say that because we've seen it. Yeah, we've seen it. So I'm even happy that he said that, because true. Then it shows that, okay,
it matters.
It matters him and he affects him and stuff. And he is trying to work and fix this. It's not like it's a thing where he doesn't care. I'm glad that he's skipping the Olympics, to be honest, so he can get straight into hardcore and, you know, get straight into it. I think that was a smart move. I'm one of the few who don't judge the players for deciding skipping the Olympics. To me, it makes perfect sense, especially if it's a thing where you haven't had such a great season.
And he's played it before too, so it's not like he's never had that experience. Played it before. Yeah.
It's not like, you know, he's not a massive fan of clay compared to like hardcore as well. So yeah, but either way, thank you, Francis. Thank you, Alcaraz, for such a amazing match. I was enjoying that match so much. I didn't even realize I haven't even eaten. literally ate my first meal at 6-7 p.m. But yeah, so shout out to him. I hope that he's really proud of what he's accomplished. And yeah, what a match.
No, well said. Another defeat now. Gael Monfils Lamont. His Wimbledon is over now after straight sets defeat to 10th seed Grigor Dimitrov. Not gonna lie, I didn't watch much of it. I saw the ending, so like the last set, basically. Yeah.
I was doing the Alcaraz match. Oh, sorry, guys. I'm very tired. Sorry. We're recording here. So unprofessional.
So I was yawning and talking. Crazy.
Guys,
am I that boring? Damn.
I'm just really tired. We've been working hard the last couple of days.
We have. Day five in that.
Day five.
But yeah, I went to Monfils' presser afterwards just to kind of see how he was feeling, because he had a nasty kind of slip at the back of the court in the third set towards the end of it, where he kind of nearly took out the lineswoman. And yeah, he came into press like he had like his left wrist or hand taped. It looked like ice, like an ice pack. So I asked him how it was, and he said initially he was more worried about his knee, because he's had like knee issues in the past. But yeah, it turned out like the wrist seemed to be a bit more of an issue for him. But he was able to finish the match, thankfully, unlike some people yesterday. That was a bit unnecessary. I'm sorry. I don't need to say that. But keep it in though, Lucy, please.
Oh yeah, I will. I like shady you.
Sorry. I'm feeling myself. I need to relax.
No, come on, New York Times. They won't understand.
But yeah, I like everybody knows, like our thing is about positivity. So I didn't want to like kind of dwell on like the fact that he'd lost the match and, you know, you're out of a tournament. So I asked him basically like how he would evaluate his grass court season, obviously reaching the semi-finals in Mallorca the week before. And the third round at Wimbledon, that's a good run. And also he was the junior Wimbledon champion in 2004, which was the year he was world number one junior. So I just basically asked him like how special Wimbledon is to him. And here's what he said.
I think it's very beautiful here. It's honestly, it's I always say that it's I wish I could play much better here, because I really like the place. I like the vibes. Unfortunately, I've been not playing my best tennis here yet, maybe. But it's just this. It's really hard because I really like Wimbledon. Honestly, I really like Wimbledon. It's a beautiful, like a really really beautiful tournament. And you know, I'm sad that I couldn't make at least the quarter.
So yeah, I love the fact that like he's. You know, he likes the vibes, he said, which I found quite funny. But yeah, also there's like this urge or desire to like kind of want to do better at Wimbledon, like in his pro career. I think the best result he's had, don't quote me, I'm literally checking this as I like read it out. I want to say fourth round. Don't think he's reached the quarters. Let me check this. Sorry, you see. Oh, okay, the fourth round. And that was back in 2018. So, yeah, like obviously Wimbledon is a special place to him, but like I said, there's like this desire to want to do better. And he kind of joked and said, oh, like maybe in the future he still can, and like laughed, because obviously we all know he's 37 now. So how many Wimbledons are left in Gael Monfils, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think overall he just said he's happy with like the matches that he's been able to get under his belt, like during this grass court campaign.
I mean, even this entire year, he's been doing
and
really
again,
well.
He's also been struggling too to get back-to-back wins. So he's had a nice kind of run,
mm-hmm.
again, during this grass season, where he's been able to, yeah, win back-to-back matches.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to what we said with Francis, like this should hopefully stand him in good stead going into the summer, like US summer swing.
Yeah.
And he does perform well in the States.
Yeah.
So, and again, they love him in America,
mm-hmm.
And like in that part of the world. So, mm-hmm. yeah, just very good to see Monfils like playing like high level tennis.
Yeah.
It's a shame he didn't get through today, but I've liked what I've seen from him. Like,
for sure.
During this,
I mean, he did play Dimitrov, who's been, you know, he's top 10.
Exactly. He's having like playing, a revival.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew it was going to be kind of a tough one, but at least, you know, he's done what he had to do. But yeah.
So yeah, that literally wraps up day five, Lucy. We did have Ben Shelton, Denis Shapovalov. That did start, but the weather's been so bad.
Mm-hmm.
That finished after five games. So Shelton leads 3-2, and that will continue on day six. Looking forward to that one, actually.
I am, for sure. It has been moved to a show court. So even if it rains, yeah.
Sick.
Even if it rains tomorrow, it will still be our number one court.
Love
that. That's good.
But I won't be here, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lucy. So Lucy's going to be the one here, like, just slugging it out on her own.
Yep, guys. And I'm out here yawning on the mic. So can you imagine? So, guys, tomorrow, if I fumble, please...
You won't fumble.
Be nice.
You're a
nice
pro.
With me. Take, you know, be patient with
you
me.
You are a pro.
But, you know, aside from the Shelton match tomorrow, we also have Fils versus Romain Safiulin.
Exactly.
Russian, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And also the new favourite for a lot of people, Lepeshi Pericard and Emil Rizavori.
Rizavori, yeah.
See, this is why Eugene says the order of play.
Stop
because
it.
I do not know how to pronounce these names. But yeah.
It's a shame they're both on the same time. Like,
they are
first
both 11 a.m.
God damn.
Oh.
God damn.
Don't know how I'm going to do it, but.
No, you'll be fine, man.
Yeah. I have a feeling the feast match will be longer.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I can just like feel it. But we'll see. Either way. Our boy is going to kill it, going to bag it all.
I'm confident about tomorrow too.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, we're looking at three wins there.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Never want to tempt fate, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm confident. So good luck to them.
For sure.
And hopefully the weather behaves for those on the outside courts. Mm. So
let's
yeah, guys, that wraps up day five.
At Wimbledon.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. And again, massive, massive, massive thank you to Stacey China.
For real.
For that New York Times feature. Like, that is, yeah, very humbling, man. And yeah, thanks for all the love you guys are showing as well. Like, it means a lot. And Lucy, thank you too for trusting me and, like, not taking no for an answer. Like, I didn't take no for an answer, but yeah. No, I appreciate you, man. It's a pleasure to be doing this again, second year in a row with you.
Well, I'm here, you know, best co-host, you know, best everything, but yeah.
The black spin baddie.
The black spin
Crazy.
Baddie.
But yeah, guys, we out until tomorrow.
Peace.
Take care.